It is our desire in these few moments with the book to magnify the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to you today. I would ask that you turn and consider with me, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, these words, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Dear listening friend, will you turn your thoughts today to the grace that has been manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world to be the poorest among the poor, to be the Creator amongst his creation, and go to the extreme poverty of the death of Calvary's cross, that you might be enriched. Enriched not with material riches, which pass away and fade, but with that which is eternal, riches that abide. I desire to consider with you some of these riches that are brought forth for us in the Epistle to the Ephesians, where Paul writes to believers, Christians, in his day who had been brought to the knowledge of salvation of this Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. They were saved by grace. He said, "By grace are ye saved," in verse 8 of chapter 2, "through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." They were saved. At one time they were lost. They were dead in sins. They walked according to the course of this world. They were under the control of the prince of the power of the age. And that's just exactly the condition of all men. And it is still your condition, dear listening friend, if you have not heard the voice of the Son of God and been saved by his grace, if you've not been converted, if you've not been born again. But God has provided through Christ riches, riches of mercy, riches of love, riches of salvation. And he's made it available all through grace. Grace is his favor bestowed upon those who deserve his judgment. And it's not of works. In fact, we might ask, what can a dead man do to do anything at all? And this is the condition of men without Christ. You, dear listening friend, if you're unconverted, you cannot work a work that will please God. There is a work, however, that is not a work. I like to think of it. The Lord Jesus was asked, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And he said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." And faith in the Son of God, dear friend, is what will save your soul eternally and bring you the riches that he has procured for you. In the first chapter of the Ephesians, Paul, as the apostle, writes to the saints which are at Ephesus. A saint is one who has been made holy in Christ. Every believer is a saint, one who is sanctified, set apart to God in Christ. When one trusts Christ as his Savior, he becomes a saint. Once he's far off in his sins, but now through the blood of Christ, he's brought nigh to God, and he's a saint, a holy one, in Christ Jesus. Now, this is true of every believer. He also writes to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithfulness is the characteristic of the believer, and it's the condition that one must have if he's to receive the truth and grow in grace. Oh, we all desire, I'm sure, to be faithful to him. We who have tasted of his grace will desire to be faithful to him. But here we have particularly those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, and he wishes grace, and this grace that saves you continues to be active in ministering whatever you need. How wonderful. It's the source of every blessing we have. And peace is the result, and it comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is my listening friend a possessor of the peace that comes from God and from the Lord Jesus? Do you know peace that passeth understanding? You have peace with God If you trusted Christ as your Savior, you are no longer at war with God, and you may have the peace of God as you're still in this world of strife and conflict. And yet he gives peace of heart that causes you to be at rest in all the trying circumstances. But notice what we read in connection with the riches now of God's grace to those who receive his Son. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you conceive of anything greater than what we have here? I have no doubt that in our finite minds we cannot even begin to fathom what is intended to be conveyed to us here. Every spiritual blessing. We know some of them. We're going to have a few of them before us here shortly. But how much there is. There's an infinity of blessing, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus has secured for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. These blessings are for every individual, and they are also heavenly. This is in contrast to the blessings for Israel, which were earthly. But the blessing of the believer, the Christian, is heavenly. And isn't this most important of all? We're only here in this earth a very short time. Are you going to heaven? Is heaven your destination? Oh, dear friend, if you are in Christ, such as you are, if you've trusted him as your Savior, all that heaven contains, the riches that Christ has acquired through redemption, he's going to share with you. Yea, he's blessed us with them now. You notice in verse 4 also we are made to realize, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Have you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ ever considered this wonderful truth? This is a truth for the family of God. On the outside of the door before we come in, we read, whosoever will, let him come. And by grace constrained through the Spirit of God, we come to Christ. And as we come to him, we enter the house, as it were, of salvation. We look up over the portals of the door on the inside, and we find out that God hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Can you think of that? Oh, dear friend, this shows us the love and the will of the Father. God's sovereignty is displayed here, and he is sovereign in salvation. Man is responsible also. We have both lines of truth in the whole Word of God, running side by side. We have chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then as it is summed up for us in 2 Thessalonians 2, that we are chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that's man's responsibility. But the point is this, that the attention here is drawn to the believer being chosen in him. Think of it, dear friend. Are you a believer in Christ? Oh, you have him to thank that he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. And furthermore, in verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption by Christ Jesus to himself. The adoption is a special blessing for the people of God. They're placed into God's family as sons, in the position of privilege and dignity to share the blessing with God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ through the endless ages to come. How wonderful it is to contemplate what God has predestinated us for. And it, of course, is again not through our own works, not through our own endeavors, not through our purpose indeed, but by Jesus Christ, the one who has finished the work of redemption, is the one through whom God brings about that for which he has predestinated his people. And you notice it is according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, mark that. The will of God is that you might be blessed. And his will is going to be carried out according to his purpose. And it's a will of God in love that brings us these blessings. The result is going to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. In eternity, we're going to praise His grace. And the glory of His grace is going to be magnified by praise. And this is what has made us. Now mark you in verse 6 what we have here. Wherein, that is in this grace, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Think of it, dear fellow believer. And I'm sure I'm talking to fellow believers today. You have trusted Christ, you're in Him. You are thus made accepted. You're made acceptable to God. God accepts you. He receives you in the Beloved. Just as He has accepted His Son, the finisher of redemption's work on the cross, and exalted Him to the glory, He's well pleased with all that His beloved Son has done. So has He made you, the sinful sinner, who has trusted His Son. He has made you to be accepted by Him in the Beloved One. The little word "in" here is very important. It shows us where our blessings lie. In verse 7, for instance, we read, "In whom," and that has reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, the beloved Son of God, "in whom we have redemption through His blood." Here is a blessing. This is some of the riches of His grace. This is what has been acquired for us. Redemption, what does it mean? Oh, dear friends, it has a wide scope of meaning. It means that the blood of Christ has purchased our deliverance from the bondage and the slavery of sin and Satan. It has also delivered us from death, the penalty of sin. It has also assured us that now we are purchased and belong to God by the price paid for our redemption, His own precious blood. Through His blood, we have it. Dear fellow believer, you have redemption now through His blood. Redemption is not yet complete, however. We know that we wait the redemption of our bodies, but this is assured to us on the basis of the finished work and the shedding of the blood of Christ in Him. We have. Oh, thank God we wait that day when our bodies likewise shall be redeemed at the coming of Christ, when the dead shall be raised, the believing dead, and changed along with the living who believe in Jesus. And then our bodies shall be redeemed as well. But something else we have. We have also the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Not one of us could enter the glory above unless our sins were forgiven. Let me ask my listening friend, are your sins forgiven? Are you assured that your sins are forgiven by God? They must be. You must have a clean account. You must have them washed away through His blood. There's nothing you can do. No turning over of leaves can blot out the guilt of the past. But according to the riches of His grace and through the blood of Calvary, you may have the forgiveness of your sins. Peter told Cornelius in his house, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall receive forgiveness of sins." Now, this is all according to the riches of His grace. And then you notice, in these riches of His grace, He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. That is, God has revealed to us all that He would have us to enjoy. For instance, these very things we've been talking about, our being blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, our being chosen in Him, are being predestinated or marked out beforehand to be placed in the place of adoption as His sons with Himself, and that we might be accepted in the Beloved, that we might have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins. Why, this is just the beginning. That He desires now to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence through the Word, whereby He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. That book that you have in your hand, the Bible, dear friend, declares His will and His purpose. And according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, salvation originated for you in the heart of God and in His purpose. It's been brought down to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's made available to you on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And now through the Word of God, the mystery of His will is made known to you. Oh, dear friend, He wants us to realize that in the administration of the fullness of times, You are going to be linked then with him who is going to head up all things in himself. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that are in heaven, the things that are on earth. He's the head of all things. Thank God for the grace that brought us this wonderful privilege and blessing to be linked with this one, that in the fullness of the times, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. And we, in him, are going to share in that wonderful display of glory. And then we have another blessing, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Here is the wealth that we have. The Lord Jesus Christ has become the heir of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. And all that Christ has acquired through his work on the cross, he's going to share with his children, those who trust in him. You notice it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of his will to this end. And he works all things after the counsel of his own will. How is he going to do it? Dear friend, the same one who created the worlds and brought them into existence by his word has, by the work of Calvary, done a work that in its power is going to bring to pass all that he has decreed. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And then Paul goes on to say that we should be to the praise of his glory who pre-trusted in Christ. And then he refers to the Gentiles and to us, we today who are Gentiles. And am I speaking to any of our Jewish friends? The same grace of God that has come to the world has come to both Jew and Gentile alike. The Jew first trusted in Christ. The early church was composed mostly of Jewish people who saw in Jesus Christ their Messiah and accepted him as the Jesus, Jehovah, their Savior. And since then, the gospel has gone out to the Gentiles, and in whom they trusted, as the Ephesians were Gentiles. And Paul says, in whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's a personal thing. Dear friend, have you trusted in the Savior? You have heard the gospel that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the Word of God says that if you will put your faith in him, by God's grace you are saved. Not of works. Saved. And you have these blessings that we have been speaking of. And then you notice it says, in whom also, having believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Not only does God save us, but he seals us. The moment that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed. A seal denotes ownership. It marks one out as belonging to God. It secures him. God not only saves us, he secures us. He not only saves us, but he keeps us by his almighty power. And the Spirit of God that indwells the believer the moment one trusts Christ, the one that is born again through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, is sealed by the Spirit. This is another blessing. And furthermore, we also read, he is the earnest of our inheritance. That is, he's the down payment of this inheritance. And the joys that we have even now of enjoying the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, all these are just a foretaste of what is yet to come and to be realized in the glory above. He is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession will be at the coming of Christ. And dear fellow believer, thank God in the fourth chapter of this book we read that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. God grant that the riches of his grace today as unfolded in these passages will be of real blessing to every listener. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for that one who was rich with thee and yet became poor that we through his poverty might be enriched. And how rich we are! How rich is everyone who has put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ! It is our desire today, and certainly it is thy desire, not willing that any should perish, that men today, hearing the word of God, will put their trust in Christ and thus receive him as their personal Savior. Oh, what blessings there are for each one who does so. And we just beseech thee that thou wilt use thy word in blessing to every listener for the glory of that one who died for us and rose again, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we ask in his worthy and precious name. Amen.